This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackWolf. More information after the midpoint break. Jump ahead to greatness awaits. Links between 3D worlds excel. Stop bitching and start playing some games, for crying out loud. The Xbox One is here. You expect me to gush about it, don't you? Tonight is November 24th, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
And thus begins the DDoS attack of VogNetwork.com. All the F5s. You can stop now. It's up. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another next-gen version of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live, DDoSing our site at VogNetwork.com. Welcome. Head on over to live.vognetwork.com, where you too can try to check in and join chat so I can try to read some intelligent comments from chat. You can check in and get some points for our that will go towards our monthly raffle. You only have a couple days left to try to secure Cards Against Humanity, the base set. And you can get 5 points. All you got to do is check in, just like SSJ100 Matt and Mako, who were the first two to check in tonight. If you're listening on the podcast feed, you can actually check in. There will be a passphrase somewhere in the episode, and you can put that in on the site and get the exact same amount of points and entries into the raffle. Go to vognetwork.com/raffle for the rules and to enter yourself into the raffle. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So I have to say this, because it everything's there now. Everything's out now, pretty much. And I it's time for people to stop bitching about things and just go play whatever you wanted to play. Go forth and have fun. Because the PS4's out, the Xbox One is out, we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. The new Zelda for 3DS is out, the new Mario for Wii U is out. There's apparently an amazing game called Tearaway on the Vita. Whatever you have, there is something out there for you. Go forth and play it after you listen to this show. And then when you're done listening to this show, then go out and then listen to OLR if you're listening live. So after us and OLR, go forth and play. Do something. Play something. Have fun. Smile. Laugh. Do something. Because now we can stop bitching about pixels on a screen and specs and stats and all that stuff, and we can just go forth and play games. So the Xbox One is here. I, you know, got my hands on it. The last one at my midnight launch. I had to rush to get to it. I work with the Atlanta Falcons. We had a home game, and I don't want to talk about the game, but the game went until, you know, it was not a blowout, so the stadium was still full when the game ended at 11:30, and I had to get up, you know, 25 miles to get to where my Xbox One was pre-ordered. So I walked in at like 12:25, and the cops are like, you really want to go in? I'm like, yeah, I got my pre-order. So I was the last person to go pick up my pre-order at my Best Buy. So I was able to get a day one edition of Xbox One. And there's a lot of people out there that think I'm a Microsoft shill, that I defend Microsoft a whole lot, and that basically I'm pro Microsoft and anti everybody else. And I'm sorry, tonight's not going to be one of those nights. It's not going to be a full defense. So let's go ahead and get into it. Basically, my impressions of what's in the box. I'm not going to review the console because I think that's dumb, because consoles change over time, and you know, one weekend isn't going to give me enough to give it a number or a letter grade or anything like that. But the Xbox One, I called it a beast. It's a beast of a system. And when I say that, and I know everybody's going to be like, oh, but you know, you don't understand the number of pixels the PS5. That's not what I mean. I mean physically. It's a beast of a system. It is solid, sturdy. It feels like a brick. It's a big, heavy brick. And then you get to the power brick, and it's also this heavy, sturdy. I mean, it doesn't feel cheap at all. And then you get to the Kinect, and it's sturdy and heavy, so much so it won't stay on top of my TV. I actually have to put the thing on the bottom of my TV. You don't have to have it, but I made the choice to plug it in, and it's plugged in. But it's in the bottom of my TV, which means it's on top of my center speaker, which means it doesn't work as well, the voice commands, because it says that my stereo is too loud when it's really too soft, and it's because it's on top of the speaker. But anyway, it's a big system. It's a very wide system. It's probably the widest console I've owned. WIDE, not WHITE. So maybe the Neo Geo is about as wide. I haven't done comparisons to everything, but it's a very big, wide system. It's not gonna fit. If you had a space perfect for your Xbox 360, this isn't gonna fit in that exact same space. The PS4 is actually a little bit smaller than the PS3 in terms of size, just a little bit. So for comparison, but the Xbox One, it's a beast of a system. Physically, it's heavy. It doesn't feel cheap, which is good because it's $500. So when I started it up, there are reports of like the disk drive not working and things like that. And luckily, I have not come across those in my personal life. That's not saying they don't happen. Obviously, they are happening. There's issues, but my console worked out of the box. So I've actually finally gotten through a console generation where everything worked out of the box. This is the first time in a long time I've had everything work. So congrats to this generation, at least for me personally. But when you turn it on, you actually think it's broken, because it takes several minutes when you first boot it up for it to get from it's got the little splash screen where it shows the X and says Xbox One, and then it sits there for like several minutes, and you can't do anything. And you don't know what's going on. And it's kind of scary. And it actually continually does that. If you ever do a cold boot, which I'll talk about cold and warm boots a little bit later, it still is quite some time to get from turning it on to actually getting to the guide. Now, here's the thing in comparison with the PS4 Midnight launch is that Xbox Live worked with no problems out of the gate. I downloaded Microsoft actually provided the update onto a flash drive, or so you could put it on a USB stick and you can put it in and update it without having to connect to the internet. But you know, 1:15 Eastern AM, it was a very fast download to get that update, and it was several hundred megs, so it was about the same size as the PS4 update, and I had no problem getting it immediately. Like, it connected. So score one for Azure. For Microsoft's Azure service, because there was no problems. I didn't get disconnected from Xbox Live in the first night. I didn't get it, you know, I didn't have any of the problems that the PS4 had with PSN. PS4 has gotten a lot better. They have actually already released an update, so we're now at 1.5.1 to handle some of those connectivity issues. But you know, the network, their service held up, and apparently they also sold a million units in the first day. So you know, there's probably just as many people hitting the Xbox One network as there were the PS4 network at launch. To be fair, that $1 million number, or that million unit number, is across all territories, and Xbox One launched in way more territories than the PS4 did. PS4 is not even out. I don't think it's going to be out in Europe until next week, whereas the Xbox One is out in Europe right now. So the network held up, which is more than we can say about PSN. One thing that I kind of, you know, this is the part where I get into like the UI and the use of the console, and this is not a console that's ready. This UI is just not ready. there are things that I've come to expect to find that I can't find still to this day. And there are a couple other people with Xbox Ones in chat. Maybe you can tell me where this stuff is. But see, everything's app controlled. Everything's an app. Settings is an app you load. Everything, it's just like Windows 8. Everything is this app. And there are certain things that I would expect to find somewhere, whereas on the Xbox 360, you hit the guide button, went to the left, and there they are. And they're not there. And it's stupid stuff that should be easily found. Download queue. Because you got to download a lot of stuff from the internet. I'd like to see a queue of what it's got downloading, what's next, how much farther it has to go. You can see some of this information if you go to the My Apps app. Yes, there is an app for loading up your apps. And it will show you what's downloading in a little progress bar. But also a storage manager. You know, I'd like to see, I don't even know how much of my hard drive I've already used. I can't find anything that tells me how much free space I have. Maybe if I buy something, it'll tell me how much free space I have. But I want to go in my settings into some app and see how much I've got left, and then also see what save files I have. You know, I'd like to see what's on my hard drive. Can I delete certain saves? Can I delete something off the hard drive? How can I do that? Where is that? I can't find it. And it's because it's a confusing array of all these apps that don't really work together, and it's not integrated into the OS the same way you've expected, and even the way the PS4 does it. All this stuff I can find in the PS4 just fine, even though I think their menuing structure needs a little bit of work. It's a lot better than the Xbox One's app paradise. And by the way, I learned that upgrading your hard drive in the Xbox One voids your warranty. So you can't swap out the hard drive unless you void your warranty. So hope you didn't want to do that. ActDef in chat says, I think there isn't a storage manager from what I heard. Well, that's stupid. I want to be able to see what's on my hard drive. I've been able to see what's on my hard drive or memory cards with every console that's had hard drives and memory cards. Except for maybe the N64. I don't think the N64 had one. But PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, I could see what was on my memory cards. Sega CD has a storage manager for its onboard memory. Come on. The Sega CD can do it. So can you. Breakman asks, is Xbox One out in Japan, or has Microsoft finally admitted they can't sell it there? I think it's out in Japan. I think I did see some stuff from Japanese people. ActDeft is pasting an article that I'm not going to read, but the title is Xbox One lacks proper storage management. Microsoft says it is automatic. Well, I don't care if it's automatic or not. I would like to have that app. So minus one for Microsoft. Breakman says N64 had memory cards. I know, but I don't think it had an integrated storage thing that you could see what was on the memory cards. It was game specific. That's what I was talking about with the memory cards on the N64. Now, going through some of the apps, they do have a Friends app, I guess is what it is. That's different from the Achievements app. So if you like want to look at your friends' achievements, it loads up the Achievements app and then puts the Friends app in the back. It's stupid. So you load up the Friends app, and it's got this activity feed, which is kind of a cluster F, that word I can't say on the show. But so is the PS4s, because the PS4s has an activity feed. And they're taking it from Facebook. But basically, you can see when people start games, including on the 360. So I can see when people on the 360 are starting to play GTA 5 and stuff like that. And then it shows like if they've unlocked an achievement, what achievement they've unlocked, big, huge graphic and everything. And then it has your friends and friends and followers, which is great because they've eliminated the 1,000 friend or the 100 friend limit, and they've moved up the cap, which is great. But here's the thing. Your Xbox One friends don't correlate to your 360 friends. And I learned this because I did finally get one friend request on the Xbox, and it was from Obi-Wan Jabroni. And he actually left a comment on the site over at VogNetwork.com, said, my friend request is going to say this, quote, I'm a VOG user and fan of the show, Hogwash. That's the universal keyword in Handshake. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds, unquote. And he actually did leave that message. But it turns out he didn't have to, because it told me he was a follower, and then I could add him as a friend on the Xbox One. Well, I went back to my Xbox 360, nothing. And I had 99 friends on my Xbox 360, and he would have been number 100. He would have rounded out the list. But it didn't count. I saw his message, but there was no friend request. They got rid of friend requests. You do not need to request friends on the Xbox One. You follow them, and then they can follow you back if they want. On the 360, I actually sent him a friend request on the 360. So just in case, you know, because there are still some stuff on the 360 I'd like to play. More stuff on the 360 right now I want to play than the Xbox One, that's for sure. So I friend requested in there. But it's interesting that it doesn't carry over. Whereas on the PS4, you add someone as a friend on the PS4, they show up on your PS3, on your Vita, everything. Everything's connected. I mean, the messages, you have to like delete friend requests on the PS3. After that, you've already accepted them, they'll show as a new friend request on the PS3. So it's not totally there on the PlayStation side, but it's close. It's a lot better than the Xbox One. So in the apps, they have this thing that's called Snap. So certain apps can be snapped to the side, lowering the what you see on the left side of the screen, and you can have an app snap to the side, like the Activity Feed or Skype or Party. Yes, Party is an app to be able to chat with people, but you don't have to have the Snap portion up. It still works in the background. And is really confusing at first, and they actually have video tutorials in the Xbox One that will help you walk you through what you can snap, why you'd want to snap, how, and you could spend like 10, 15 minutes doing that, and all about the controller. And they show you more about the controller and stuff, because they don't have start and select buttons anymore. It's menu and view. Menu is the start button, view is the select button. And generally, I mean, in games, they're used as start and select buttons. But, you know, you'd have to use the menu button to bring up this pop-up menu to do whatever you want to do in the apps, or you know, save things and stuff. So they actually explain that a little bit about what those buttons do, and also how you would snap apps and why you'd want to do that. And a lot of that's used with the Kinect. I have to ask, how well do the voice commands work for me? They work great for me. I know that there are people that are reporting that the apps that the voice commands don't work for them. There are people that are purposely trying to use funny accents, not legitimately using their accent, but making funny accents and saying it's not working and saying this is why it sucks. Because what they say is Microsoft said voice commands, not voice commands under certain rules. But if you try to use it correctly, they work really well. The only voice command I'm having a problem with sometimes is Xbox turn on. Sometimes it won't hear it the first time. And it only works when you're in standby mode, and you can't actually turn the console all the way off from any of the menu. When you say turn off console, it puts it in a standby mode, which is great because when you want to turn it on, it takes like 3 seconds to get to the guide. And that's the difference. That's a warm boot. That's the difference between a warm boot and a cold boot from earlier. But that's the only one I've had a problem with. Even with, you know, other stuff going on, it hasn't turned itself on or anything like that when I've been doing any games and stuff. So the voice commands work really well for me. And, you know, I do use them in certain situations. One of the great... I'm sitting here and I'm bashing the Xbox One. And there are some questions in chat and I'm going to get to them. I've just got a workflow here. The one bright spot, the one thing that Microsoft did and did really did well, in my opinion, is their game DVR feature. Now, there is no integrated Twitch streaming right now in the Xbox One. That is not there. They're not planning it until next year. I would not be surprised if the rumor is true that they saw Sony's Twitch integration and it blew theirs out of the water, and so they decided to pull it at the last minute to make it better, because Sony did really a good job on it. So there's no Twitch broadcasting, but the way they have is the game DVR and Upload Studio. Those are three different apps, by the way. And when one of them, Upload Studio, you actually have to download from the store. It's not included. So this is a great idea. And what this is when you're playing a game, you can, if something happens and you want to record that, all you have to do, if you have Kinect plugged in, which you don't have to have Kinect plugged in, but I think this is the only way to do it, is with Kinect. So if your Kinect's in the closet, you can't use this particular part of the feature. If you say, Xbox, record that, it will automatically record the last 30 seconds of gameplay and then upload it. It'll upload it to the cloud, and it'll put it on your activity feed and all that stuff. And that's actually really cool, because then you can go into that upload app and look at clips from other people. And I actually probably spent more time doing that for a while, watching clips that people have uploaded of them playing Rise, Son of Rome, people playing Killer Instinct, there's a lot of that, and they're from my friends on my friends list. And apparently, I guess some apps will even upload it for you. You don't actually have to say it. Like, I think Madden, I see all these clips called Madden Moment. So I wonder if that's like something that they will, that Madden does for you, where you can upload that. And so that's really neat, is that, you know, you say Xbox record that and it does all that for you. And it puts it on the activity feed and other people can watch your clips and everything. But then what Microsoft went is they went the next step with the Upload Studio. It's an app you have to download. It's a free app. And with the Upload Studio, you can actually edit and trim and put, you know, flourishes and stuff on clips and even put multiple clips together. And so what you can actually do with that is you can, you know, so you maybe recorded something and it recorded 30 seconds. Well, you only want, you know, 10 seconds of it. You can trim the 10 seconds and you can actually have something come in, you know, like a transition coming in. And then you can actually record your own voice on top of it. So you can commentate the clip. And then you can even do stuff where you can have multiple clips. They'll be, you know, side by side or, you know, on top of each other. Or you could record yourself with Kinect. You know, so you can have a picture in picture of you and the game, or you big and the game small. You can do all that with this, and it's really easy, really intuitive. And then you can upload that to not only the Upload Studio, but to a Microsoft SkyDrive account. Now, why this is important is for, you know, SkyDrive is basically it's Microsoft's version of Dropbox or Google Drive. So you upload it to SkyDrive. Well, it's an MP4 file. It's an unencrypted MP4 video file. So then you can take that and either upload it directly to YouTube, like I did, or you could put it into a video editing program and put it into something else. And it records at 720p. So I actually do have a clip on YouTube that I edited on the, that I recorded on the Xbox One, edited on the Xbox One, put voiceover in with the Xbox One headset, and had it uploaded to SkyDrive, went in the SkyDrive account, downloaded it, and uploaded it to YouTube, and I was done. So that's really cool. Now, I did say that you had to use Kinect for the Xbox Record This feature, but they've got a workaround. If you don't want Kinect attached to your TV, you can still use this. You just have to have a little bit of foresight. So the Game DVR app is one you can snap to the side, and you can say, start recording, and you can record up to 5 minutes at one time. So you can say, start recording, and then stop recording. But you can also, in Upload Studio, actually like put five clips together. So, you know, you can create multiple clips and then stitch them together in Upload Studio. So you can still use the DVR function without Kinect. The reason I'm talking about this part is because this is one of the bright spots of the Xbox One. Yes, the PS4 has the share button, and it automatically will record the last 15 minutes of gameplay, but then you're on your own. You can't download that file easily. You can upload, you know, you can share to Facebook and then use a video grabber to grab the video and pull it down. But it's a lot more work than what's on the Xbox One. But the PS4 has automatic streaming to Twitch. You can stream to Twitch, and it's very easy, and the Xbox One didn't have it. So, you know, I like what Microsoft did. I hope that, you know, Microsoft soon gets the Twitch integration, and I hope that maybe Sony looks at this Upload Studio thing and does something on the PS4. Seal says, biggest problem I see is 30 seconds. The 30 seconds limitation is only when you say, Xbox, record that, because it's in reaction to something that obviously happened in the last 30 seconds. If you want to record more than that, you use the Game DVR app, you start it, and then it will record for 5 minutes, and then you can have it snapped or worked in the background, so you can keep track of it. But you can record more than 30 seconds, you just have to know you're going to want to record more than 30 seconds before you do it. Mako says, yay, more awkward clips on YouTube of FPS game footage accompanied by bad vocal work and an annoying title and credit sequences full of sequential speed metal and bad animation. Thanks for enabling the annoyance, Microsoft. Well, you can't add speed metal in Upload Studio. You can't add a soundtrack other than your own voice. Tiger Claw says, does Xbox One's Twitch let you stream or watch any stream since PS4 only allows you to watch PS4 streams? Okay, so the Twitch app exists on Xbox One, and it runs pretty much like the Xbox 360 version. The only difference is you can't use the Xbox One. You can't change the size of the screen because there's a safe mode around the TV. So if you're watching League of Legends, well, on a PC monitor, they have stuff all out at the edge of the screen. But if you watch it on TV, if the safe mode is in there, you can't see some of the information. The latest update to the Xbox 360 Twitch app lets you adjust the size of the screen so you can see all the information when your TV can't show all of it. Xbox One didn't have that yet, but it is all the streams. It's the same as all the apps like the iOS app and all that stuff, where it's like the top 250 in terms of viewers, you can see. The PS4 does not have a Twitch watching app. The PS4 has an app that watches streams on both Twitch and Ustream of things using the PS4 share button. That's what that is using. So it's not really an app. It's not a Twitch viewer. It's a PS4 viewer. Whereas, yes, the Twitch app on Xbox One is a Twitch TV, any stream, League of Legends, Super Mario 3D World, whatever. You can watch all that just fine on the Xbox One, pretty much the same way you do on the Xbox 360. Tiger Claw also asks, what I'm curious about is the Xbox One's Blu-ray playback. Since the PS4 and Xbox One both play Blu-ray movies, I wonder if it is any different in terms of picture quality and loading times for when the movie's menu screen loads up. I did put the Avengers Blu-ray that I have in both the PS4 and in the Xbox One. By the way, it's an app on the Xbox One. You have to download the Blu-ray app from the store to watch Blu-rays on the Xbox One. So I did, and I'm not a videophile. I'm not an audiophile. I didn't count seconds or anything like that. They looked great. I mean, it works. It worked fast. I didn't notice any problems. I didn't do any kind of expert analysis, but I did load the same scene on both, and I couldn't tell the difference. So it as a Blu-ray player, I like it. It functions great. The Immortal Gamer says, Bobby, you just caused my Xbox to go into record that mode. You are welcome. Cial says, quick, say something, and I don't want to say that. Because you can turn off someone's Xbox One with a voice command. And I have not found a way to shut that off. Because that could be really, really bad. It does actually pop up a screen that says, are you sure? But then you can just say the word yes. And, you know, so you can still shut it off. I could shut off his Xbox right now if I wanted to. Sorry about that, Immortal Gamer. I'm not trying to do that, and I'm not going to actually do that. But you may want to watch out for that. Actually, Wyland says, and this is a rumor, says, I had heard that installing the Blu-ray app adds in HDCP, so streaming with a capture card afterwards doesn't work. I have not heard that. I do not have an HDMI streaming solution, so I don't know. That would be really terrible if it is. But I've seen a lot of people streaming Xbox One, so maybe they just haven't downloaded the Blu-ray app. I don't think that's accurate, though. Mako says, now every Skype caller will be trying that. I am so sorry, Immortal Gamer. I am so sorry. Shadow Next Gen says it's not true. And Shadow Next Gen does say, I just recorded Rise, Some of Rome's with my Elgato. So, and I guess Shadow Next Gen has the Blu-ray app installed already. I'm assuming he does. So there you go. Rumor debunked. Wyland trying to give wrong information here on the show. Rumor debunked. As for the games, I only bought one game. And that was Forza Motorsport 5. I said I was going to buy Killer Instinct, but I'm like, you know, you can't buy it on disc. Even if you buy a retail version, it comes with a code to download it. So I did get the free-to-play version of Killer Instinct, and oh my God, I suck at it, so I'm probably not going to spend money on it. And it's not because I think it's bad. I don't think it's a bad game. I mean, you can play with one character for free in one stage, and then you can play against other people of other characters online. You can't get achievements until you buy something. But I am terrible at it. I was so much better at it when I was playing against another guy that didn't know what he was doing at the Xbox One tour, and I was using Saberwolf, which is not the free character. So my button mashing did not work, and I'm having a hard time trying to figure out the combo system because I guess I'm dumb. So I will probably not be getting any kind of full version of Killer Instinct, but I did try it. It's fast. It's got a lot of good particle effects, and it's Killer Instinct. It's got the announcer and everything. So there you go. But I did get Forza Motorsport 5, and I am a huge racing fan. This was pretty much the game I was looking forward to most of the launch lineups of both consoles because I love the Forza series. Played it a hell of a lot. I'm not the best at it, but I mean I enjoy myself and. You know, and Forza Horizon was great as well. But I mean, I love the Forza Motorsport series because it's your simulation racer. It's more akin to Gran Turismo. It's not like a Need for Speed or anything like that. And so I was really looking forward to this. And I bought the disc because it's like a 36 gig game or something like that. So I didn't want to download 36 gigs. Put the disc in, and immediately it says you need a 6 gigabyte update to play this game. Okay. So other things were going on. I didn't get to time it, but it did take quite a while to get to the point where it said ready to play. Now, to its credit, I didn't have to install all 36 gigs or download all 6 gigs of the update to be able to play, at least as far as I know. I didn't sit there and watch it and time it like I did for Need for Speed Rivals. So here's the thing about Forza Motorsport 5, because you got to realize this was my most anticipated. I'm really disappointed with it. And I think it's rushed. I don't think that it's it lacks a lot of the stuff that even Forza 4 had. There were features like, I mean, the in-game marketplace. And when I say the in-game marketplace, I don't mean microtransactions, which there are microtransactions for this game. Optional microtransactions, for the most part. But the in-game marketplace is where people could sell designs, sell stuff with the in-game money. Not with real money, but with in-game money. That's not there yet. It says coming soon. It's not even there. It's basically it's gone back to the whole series of races thing. There's not much more to it than that, which not really, there wasn't that much more to it in Forza, but there was a little bit more. Like, there were clans and auto clubs and stuff that you could join. Not there at all for this. Also, it has a lot less cars than previous Forzas. I think, like, previous Forzas had, like, 500 cars. This one has 200. And then, you know, they're going to add more as DLC. So that basically tells me it wasn't really ready yet. The biggest problem I have with Forza is the biggest change they made to the series. And when I'm talking about this, I want you to realize I'm not sitting here talking about this isn't the Xbox One is at fault or that's Microsoft's fault or anything like that. This is a design decision that went into Forza that I severely disagree with. And it's the Drivatar system. So if you don't know what the Drivatar system is, they had this bright idea, which sounds great on paper, and I was all for it, where you would race against, instead of them creating AIs that you raced against that were very predictable, they were going to make it so everybody would be using the cloud to save their own personal AI. And what it does, it saves all these variables based on how you drive, how much you brake, how early you brake, how much you turn, how aggressive you are, blah, blah, blah. And it saves it as a Drivatar. And it takes this information and it sends it up to the cloud. And other people will download your Drivatar. And when they race, your AI, the AI that you create that learns from how you drive, is what's in their game. Great idea on paper. And what's kind of neat about it is that when I'm playing my single player, half of the other racers are people from my friends list. So I'm actually racing against the Drivatars of my friends. The problem is most of the people on my friends list are really good at Forza. So these are like perfect AI. You know, they don't make that much mistakes. And then the others, you got to realize, like, even I'm like this. When I'm in single player, I'm much more of an aggressive driver. So I will hit people in single player. I wouldn't dare do that in multiplayer because that's rude. But in single player, I do that. Well, my Drivatar also hits people, and so do the Drivatars of the other people I'm racing against. So in the sense that they made it more realistic, they also made the game more difficult. And I know that I'm going to get a little bit of flack for this because, I mean, I do still play games on easy. But Forza has like 10 difficulty levels, and the average difficulty level is the 3 out of 10. So bigger numbers are harder and the smaller numbers are simpler. Now, when I play Forza 4 or Forza 3 or Forza Horizon on the easiest difficulty level, it's insulting. I'm, you know, blowing past everybody and just I'm by myself in first place. I have no problems getting first in most things. It's not that hard. And that's the way I think when you have, especially when you have 10 difficulty levels, that's the way the easiest difficulty level should be. It should be insulting to your intelligence. In Forza 5, I actually turned the difficulty all the way back to New Racer, which is the easiest difficulty level out of those 10. I'm fighting for 7th place. I am fighting the AI for 7th place on the easiest difficulty, the difficulty labeled New Racer. Now, you can sit there and say all you want, Bobby, you just need to get better at the game, blah, blah, blah. At that difficulty level, it's not about my skill. It's about the design of the game. It's about the design of the AI system, and you can't turn it off. I guess you might be able to turn it off if you unplug your Xbox from the internet, but then you lose all the other features. So it's a horribly broken idea. You can't shut it off. All the AI, instead of using the AI in the game that they made, they now outsource it, and they're very aggressive. And, you know, especially when it's my friends that are in there that do all these perfect turns and everything, they're doing perfect turns, even on the simplest difficulty setting. That's a problem with the game. That's not necessarily my problem, because I can go back to Forza 4 and I'm doing just fine. And it's uneven, because there are some races, like one out of every five races I do in Forza 5 on that easiest difficulty level, I do actually blow past everybody and I'm way ahead and, you know, I'm getting close to lapping people. But that's rare. And that just highlights that the system was not thought out well. Raginator says, it seems like I need a push start to win mode in Forza. That's not what I'm saying at all. And I mean, I know you're trying to be funny, but that's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they made a decision on how they were going to do the AI, and it's broken. And you can see it the most in the easier difficulty levels. And here's the funny thing, okay, and here's why I know it's broken. They changed something else to make up for the fact that it's broken. To get a gold medal in Forza 5, you only have to place in the top three. In previous games, you had to place first to get the gold. Here, you only have to get in the top three. Why? Because the Drivatar's system is so unpredictable that it's not guaranteed that you're ever really going to get first. I've only gotten first a couple times. And a lot of times what will happen is one of my friend's Drivatars will come speed past me after the final turn of a three-lap race, and I'll wind up getting third. So this is not me saying the game needs to be easier. This is me pointing out that their idea of this AI is broken. The Immortal Gamer says, I thought it just used their tendencies. I would hate to have to race against everyone on my friends list. It's pretty. It takes their tendencies, and it just, as over time, it starts to mimic them exactly, pretty much. And I mean, you know, I know that there are good racers, and they're the ones that I'm usually fighting are the good racers that are on my friends list that are in the games, even on new gamer mode. Breakman says, Bobby's going to unfollow all his friends just so he can beat this game. That's not what I'm going to do. Now, what I'm going to say, though, is that there is something that they could have done that would have been awesome. And they completely missed the ball on here. Because of this Drivatar system, I would have, at just once, for the novelty of it, I would love to have gone into free play mode, where I can set my own race and all that stuff, and race against 15 other Miis. Take my Drivatar, and I'd race against them. So 16 of us on the track and see how I would do. I would totally do that. Not an option. They did not make that an option. Total missed opportunity there. DKB points out, this is not a new idea. Virtual Fighter did it back in the day for fighter AI based on player data. And, that's Virtual Fighter did it. And there are other things like, there have been a lot of AI studies on how to use a neural network like this to try to learn, teach someone how to play a game. People do it for like Connect Four and Tic-Tac-Toe, and those are kind of like the simple, those are your doctoral student things on about AI. You know, make a neural network that learns how to play based on your tendencies and stuff like that. So it's a very old concept, especially in academia, about doing that type of stuff. This is just, they don't do it well. Forza doesn't do it. I mean, or actually, maybe it does it too well, and it's just, if I wanted to play online against people, I'd go online and play against them. If I want to play against the computer, I want to play against the computer. I don't have that choice. I'm playing against the computer mimicking these awesome racers. So there are microtransactions in it, but unfortunately, a lot of people just didn't notice that Forza's been doing it this way for a while. You can actually get tokens to buy cars instead of using in-game cash, and those cost real-world money, but you don't need those. You can actually get enough money. You just have to play more. And then there are cars that they've already released as DLC, and they're going to be releasing more. So there are microtransactions. There are things going on that I've been hearing about, people saying that, you know, Xbox One games are taking the freemium model, but doing it wrong, where they're charging you $60 for the game and then adding freemium content on top of it. And I don't agree with that they should be doing that. I know that they are doing it. Killer Instinct is kind of bad in that sense, but Killer Instinct's also a free-to-play game, so it's a little bit okay there. But Forza's been doing the buy the tokens thing with real money since like Forza 3, I think. So it's not a new thing. ActF says, Bobby, in the end, would you recommend Forza to other people? So other than the AI, it's a very beautiful game, 60 frames a second, looks great. The lighting's great. Shadows are great. It sounds great. I got used to the rumble and the triggers. So it's a fun, it's a good Forza. If you're a better Forza player than me, you might get some enjoyment out of it, but it is not as feature rich as Forza 4. So, and I haven't played it online yet. But it's definitely, I mean, it's not a bad game by any means. But it's just, it's not as good as Forza 4, and it's a lot harder. Because even other people that, you know, are actually better at the game, they do have to up the difficulty to make it challenging. But it's more of a fight for them than it was in previous. So it works both ways. I mean, maybe the Drivatar system will work for really well for some people. So that was what I did with the Xbox One. I did not buy any other games. I didn't play any of the other games. I kind of more played around with the system. I watched other people play games. Shadow Next Gen really likes Rise, and I don't see how, but that's because I only played the demo, and the demo sucked. Sky says, wake me when Horizon 2 is announced. Absolutely. Wake me when Horizon 2 is announced, because that would be awesome. Tall asks, whom do you see the Microsoft initial lineup catering to? More hardcore players, I guess. Because, I mean, obviously they've got your Call of Duty and they've got the Battlefield. But, I mean, Rise and Dead Rising are games that more of the core gamer demographic like. And, I mean, they've got, I think Zoo Tycoon's the only, like, family game they've got. And they've got, like, Just Dance. So they've got a couple, you know, they've got kind of a wide swath. But I think my official recommendation, this console's not ready yet. Like, they needed a couple more months to kind of flesh out some things. Or just they needed to make better decisions, because this is not. I wouldn't really recommend this unless the only way I would recommend it is if you had to play Dead Rising and Rise right now. If those are games you would like and you really want to play those, then it's worth it to get the console, I think. Until there are games that you really want to play on it, skip it. I thought Forza was a game I would have wanted to play, but I'd rather go back and play more Forza 4. It's more fair. Shadow Next Gen says Power Star Golf is good for families as well. Yeah, so Zoo Tycoon and Power Star Golf are the kids' stuff for kids. Shadow Next Gen says I should Gamefly Rise. I just had a bad demo. I actually want to, you know, I kind of want. I haven't played Madden yet this year, so I'm now trying to figure out if I want to get Madden for the PS4 or for Xbox One in terms of game flying Madden from either system. I don't know which one I want to do yet. Tech 2030 says Dead Rising just looks like more Dead Rising, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it doesn't look like something that couldn't have been on the 360. And we're going to see that a lot on the launch games, that things aren't going to really look on the surface like they couldn't have been done on previous consoles. And I think Dead Rising also doesn't enjoy the quick frame rate that we're used to on the next, or what we're expecting for the next gen. So a lot of the stuff you're going to find at launch are absolutely things you could have seen on current gen consoles, especially when you've got Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and Battlefield and games that are on the current gen or the last gen consoles, as well as what we have now on the shiny gen consoles. I say shiny gen because they haven't had time to collect dust yet, so they're still shiny. But we're going to be seeing that for a while, and it's always been like that. The 360 and the PS3, same type of deal. The PS3 and the 360 launch games, they looked better. There was more of a graphical jump, but I mean, there were still things that probably could have been done on the original Xbox and on the PS2 for like another year or so, or even a half year. And Shadow Next Gen says there are thousands of zombies on the screen in Dead Rising 3, which is probably not something they could have easily done at a decent frame rate on the 360. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase current. So I'm going to go ahead and open up for calls. I did actually have some stories, but I'm going to kind of save them. I kind of want to see how some of these stories pan out or if I don't get calls, I'll start going into some of these stories. But I guess I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines and take some calls if there are some people that want to call in and talk about any of this. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to get a chance to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and it's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's over a million books there. So you can make any of those your free audiobook. All you got to do is call audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackWolf. So I won't even give out the – we've already got calls coming in, so I'm not even going to give out the number yet. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Jason. I am just too fast for you, aren't I?
Yes. The phones are lighting up, too. This is great. So what's up, man?
Good. You did not answer the most important question about the Xbox One.
Excellent.
Does the system start default you to the featured advertisement tile?
No, it does not.
Amazing.
What it defaults to is the most recent game you played. That is what is in the big box.
Okay.
So it's not
that tile is always it's not that it doesn't default to that tile. It's that tile is actually implicitly related to what you're actually doing content-wise.
Yes.
So
even though I had Forza in the drive, the last title I played was Killer Instinct, and when I booted up my Xbox, Killer Instinct was in that big tile.
That is incredibly great to hear. I'm sure you remember how much
yes.
I was annoyed by the pre-release that they showed, and I'm sure the lack of content that they the fact that they were not like regularly playing games on that video or anything like that. Yeah.
But
that's good.
But
uh-oh.
It's not all roses. The first time you set up your Xbox One, you want to know what it does? You ready for this? So you get your Xbox One set up and everything, and you put in all that stuff. It shows you a sizzle reel of your video games or of games that are coming out. So there's an ad that comes up before you even get to the guide during your initial setup.
Well, that's. I guess I should have outrage against that, but that's a one-time affair.
And you can skip it. Okay. I was able to skip it.
That's by no means terrible. The alternative could have been a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah. But no, I did not see an ad. I mean, I'm not saying they could never put ads in there, but right now it's defaulting to the last game I played when I turn on the system. Or whenever you zoom out of any app or anything, it goes into that box.
Fair enough.
So.
Works for me.
All right.
Thank you much.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye, Bobby.
So we had a whole bunch of other people call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. More people can call in. See, I'll ask the more important question, does it blend? This is a pretty hefty system. So we are going to take another call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Ronmo. What's going on?
Ronmo, what's up, man?
Not much. I just have one question for you. Maybe you can answer this for me. Mm-hmm. Now, with the release of the PS4 and Xbox One, everybody's talking about upgrading the hard drive. Now, the big thing is going with a standard hard drive or an SSD. And I've been seeing that pop up all over the place. And I've been telling people, just go with a hard drive instead of an SSD. Because mm-hmm. I personally feel because of the read-write speeds, you could probably kill an SSD drive like maybe within a year of it being in your console.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what do you honestly think?
I'm the same way because, I mean, now I've had some pretty good luck with SSDs in some of our database servers, but they're also RAID 10. So we have a lot of them, and so when they fail, it's not a big deal. And we've only had one fail in two years out of the eight drives we have. But and those are read-writing constantly because it's our main database server at work. But I would say, I mean, yeah, it won't get you that much of a speed increase on the consoles, I don't think. Now, realize you can't replace, unless you void the warranty, you can't replace the Xbox One hard drive.
True.
That's not a replaceable one.
Yeah, true. There was a teardown for it, so now people are talking about wanting to do it. And mm-hmm. then, on those same comments, people are like, well, they're going to release a patch for external drives. Yeah. Be patient.
Yeah. And so, I haven't seen like any really good benchmarks or anything, but I don't see how using an SSD in a console is going to speed it up that much. Even on PCs, you really want to use the SSD for your OS and then have all your content on a regular hard drive, too.
Exactly. I've seen some comparisons, and it's like, unless you really want to cut down 10-15 seconds of loading the next stage. You know, if you can't, if going from 30 to 60 seconds is that much of a thing for you, then by all means. But I personally, with all the data writing back and forth, it's just would be a waste of money to even do so.
Yep. All right. Thanks for your call, man.
Hey, no problem. Take care, bro.
So there was one other person trying to call in. So I want to try to get him in real quick, too. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free North America. Yes, there is OLR tonight. We will get to them right after this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ACDF.
ACDF, what's up, man?
I want to talk about Forza 5.
Okay.
Basically, the drive avatar thing sounds like a neat idea, but yeah, like you said, if there are players way better than you, it's gonna suck. Mm-hmm. But aside that, I want to talk about also Forza being a disappointment in the quantity of cars and tracks.
Yeah, and I'm not too upset about that because I only used like 10 or 15 different cars maybe in Forza, so I didn't need all 200 or 500 or whatever. But I mentioned it because that's the way it is, and there are some people that do care.
Yeah, like me and most of the people I know that I play Forza with on the previous installments. We do care about the number of cars because we collect them, modify them, tune them, and etc. And also the number of tracks because one thing that really disappointed me. That I read like a month ago, that is that Forza 5 doesn't have the Nürburgring track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see it. No, it does have Le Mans, but it doesn't have Nürburgring.
Yeah, the Nürburgring is the biggest track. It's like and even the most fun because it has it's pretty competitive, and it's lots of fun, pretty basically. And it sucks that it doesn't have it. So it's. For me, that's a really great disappointment, and I'm really the excitement I had for Forza 5 and getting maybe an Xbox One in the future. It's like it has really lowered that. Yeah. So yeah, it's
well, and you need to also get a new TV, so it's an even bigger.
Yeah,
thing
it's,
for you.
That's a very good problem. That, yeah. But that's aside that, whatever. I'm pretty basically. Holding back onto an Xbox One right now because I was really excited
thing.
For Forza.
Yeah, that's a smart thing. I was excited too, and it unfortunately didn't work out for you.
Well, so. like I was saying, don't jump ahead, or you don't have to jump ahead. Greatness can wait.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So we did have one other person that was going to call. OLR is up next, and we'll talk to them after this call, I promise. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. This is going to be the last call. I promise this will be the last call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwell of Shadow Next Gen.
Shadow Next Gen, you're about to tell me that why I should play Rise.
Well, actually, I had a question for you.
Okay, good, because I don't want to play Rise.
Yes. Well, it kind of sort of relates to Rise, but it's about Knack, too. Mm-hmm. For this new generation, for, you know, with the reviews, how both titles have had mixed reviews. Do you think people, reviewers, are a bit more critical for launch titles? Maybe a little bit more critical than they should be? Because I know, like, both Rise and Knack have gotten, you know, like I said, mixed reviews, some really low, and, you know, some kind of mid-tier scores. And I've pretty much, personally, I've enjoyed both of them, so I wasn't really understanding, you know, the lower scores. I mean, to each their own, obviously.
Right.
But I don't know. I thought maybe they're a little bit more critical than they should have been.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hard to say because, I mean, even I've kind of fallen into the trap, and I think it's because we just don't have that much content. So we do have to be more critical. And here's what they may say as why they may be more critical. Here's a possible reason. I don't know this. But it's because when a new person is buying these systems and there isn't that much out there, they have to be more critical so you don't wind up getting too much of a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, I mean, I would still say that, you know, Knack being very frustrating and difficult and you're dying a lot, that's a valid complaint no matter when in a console life cycle it comes out. So I think it might be a little bit of both because, you know, they want to kind of warn people, hey, you know, this may not be the greatest thing in the world. But they're not looking at it from the sense that nothing that's coming out for the new consoles right now is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I heard someone, I'm not sure if it was in a joking fashion or not, but kind of say Knack was almost like kind of like a Dark Souls of platformers, mm-hmm. which I thought was a little bit extreme.
Yeah, that extreme, but it is apparently pretty brutal.
I mean, I haven't tried it on the harder difficulties, mm-hmm. but I went through it just fine. I mean, there was a few instances where I got stuck, but I enjoyed the fact that I could, you know, if I got stuck in a part, you know, I could readjust my thinking, and if I tried a different strategy, then it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seemed to be more like some of the old school platformers, because I know it was made, yeah. you know, by like the Crash Bandicoot guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Forza 5 is the Dark Souls of racing games with the Drivatars.
Yes. I haven't had a chance to play that, unfortunately, yet. But that's definitely one that I want to pick up.
Yep.
I know you said you thought you saw one of my Drivatars on there, but I doubt it.
I thought I did, but I guess I don't. I've got so many people that I've seen, so I guess I don't think it's yours.
Yeah, no, I haven't got it yet, but hopefully, I'm hoping there's a good Black Friday sale going on. So I know Amazon already
started. They've got some $50 games for $50, and I think they've even started crediting people that maybe bought games on Amazon for the price difference.
Yeah, they did. I know some people who, because Amazon's cool like that.
Yep. So, all right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Bobby.
So, coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, we're going to talk to them really quickly here at the Voice Geeks Network. It's Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much longer than we do here. We check in with them because I know that Rob got some other games, something on November 22nd he probably wants to talk about. So, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. Running a little late, but it's shiny gen, so I'm allowed.
These things happen. I understand.
So you also partook in the launch day madness of the 22nd.
I did. In fact, I was hoping at some point we could bring up during your show the other big stuff that launched on Friday that you haven't touched on yet. And I picked up both the new Zelda 3DS, and not just the game, but I actually picked up a 3DS XL because I didn't have one yet, and Super Mario 3D World on the Nintendo Wii U. And they're both outstanding.
That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. If I had money, I would get them, but I spent all my money.
I don't want to sound too fanboy, but they're both amazing. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny it. And the reviews back me up, even though I don't always trust reviews, but in this case, yes.
Yeah, so and I think you even unboxed on camera.
I did. I'm having fun with my new little YouTube project I'm doing. So I'll use this opportunity to give a cheap plug to Rob Roberts Plays, my YouTube channel, which you can check out. And I have the unboxing video, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like my 3DS, and I don't think I need an XL yet, but it's getting harder.
You don't think you need one until you actually get your hands on one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've used them because, I mean, all the in-store demos and all the E3 stuff were on XLs.
Oh, right.
But it's like I'm able to, like, kind of hold off.
Mm-hmm. I was there with you, and you know I have a good friend who works for Nintendo that was obviously trying to be like, you should get one, you know, kind of, you know, convincing me of all this, and I was really going to push back. In fact, the one he was trying to get me to get was the Pokemon 3DSs, and I'm like, well, I'm not that big on Pokemon. But then, of course, like a week later, they announced the Zelda, and you know, I am all about a direct sequel to Link of the Past, which was always my favorite Zelda game. You know, I didn't transition to the 3D Zeldas as comfortably as y'all did. I still respect them, and I like the games a lot. I like Twilight Princess an awful lot. I don't know why it gets dumped on in retrospect. I have a lot of friends that suddenly hate on Twilight Princess, but I'm like, that game was like the best game of the year the year it came out. But anyway, I digress.
Here's what they could do, because this worked on me once. So Nintendo, this has already worked on me once, and if you do this again, you've got my money.
Mm-hmm.
I had original Game Boy Advance, and I actually put in the Afterburner mod into it that was the backlight.
Mm-hmm.
So when they brought out the SP, I was like, I don't need the SP. I've got this backlit. I'm good, whatever. Then they released the classic NES Game Boy Advance SP.
Oh, yeah.
I was there day one. So if you release the classic NES 3DS XL, I will pre-order that. I'll even go to Evil G and pre-order, if that's the only place I can pre-order it. I will end my boycott of the Evil G for that.
Wow. Well, I wouldn't even cross those lines. When that 3DS, the Zelda 3DS was announced, I said, this better not be a GameStop exclusive. But I did the whole, not to give a free commercial, but I did the whole order online through Best Buy and pick up in the store. It was very painless. Very happy with it.
So that's what they would need, a classic NES version. I would get the XL so fast.
All right. Well, I hope somebody over at Nintendo that makes decisions is listening. Hey, I know we got to get over to OLR, but I got to ask you one very, very, very important question. So if 360 and PlayStation 3 are shiny gen, and Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are new gen, what's Wii U?
Well, see, I call the shiny gen is the Xbox One and the PS4.
Oh, my bad.
Because they haven't had enough time to gather dust yet. They're so new.
You caught me. I was busy clicking cookies while I was trying to listen to your show. okay, so then if the other one, okay, so if I got it backwards, then whatever. What is the Wii U?
Ninjin.
Yeah, Ninjin. How about that?
Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
All right.
And what's funny is, well, I mean, people aren't considering them next gen because I think there was like this, some editorial somewhere that was like the death of the start button. And we're like, the Wii U has a start button. And they're like, but none of the new consoles have a start button. The Wii U has a start button. It's right there. It looks like a plus, but it's a start button.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this, and I'll talk more in depth about this on OLR. Again, I like to think I've been very critical of Nintendo when they need it, but I'm going to keep it real. With the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, I think they both look like great consoles. I'm excited to see where they're at in a year. None of those launch games can hold a candle to Mario 3D World, I guarantee it.
I'm probably right there with you. I'm glad I got them so I could experience it, but if you don't have to get them, which you didn't have to get them or anything, and I really didn't have to get them, but you know, I made up priorities to do them, since I guess nobody else at VOG was really going to get any. I'm even telling people stay away from them for right now. Wait until at least March, maybe later. Because right now, there's not that much games for it.
Yeah, and early next year, I will definitely hop on board with PlayStation 4, because now you've got Destiny, Final Fantasy 14, and with Xbox One, I'm sure Forza Horizon 2 is going to be one of the next holiday games, so I'll get sucked into Xbox One at that point. So, you know, I got a little time.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR?
Well, as you heard in the background there, Jason is here in studio tonight filling in for Dark Sakura, who's out at a family event. Techmaster Loki here as well. We're going to be talking our own little angle on the Xbox One launch, as well as some of the news that's come out of that, including sales figures and things that haven't been working so well. Also, you know, obviously there's a lot going on with PlayStation 4 and Wii U, but we do want to focus on the games. There's some rumblings and some updates on the Tomb Raider sequel that apparently is in development. There was some news on that came out this week, so we're going to talk about that, as well as some updates on Gran Turismo 6, probably the last big title to be coming out before the holidays. Yeah. So,
and hey, the PS3 is getting a new Persona. Spoiler alert.
That's right. We'll talk about that as well.
They're still announcing PS3 games after the PS4 launch. The shiny gen is here.
That's good, because they're still going to be selling PlayStation 3s, and there's a lot of people that still want to use them. So, I mean, they were still making Wii games after the Wii U, so although not for very long.
And I forgot, Brad also got a PS4 on VOG, so I'm not the only VOG person.
He sure did, and I believe they're focusing a little bit on that on Pod Culture tomorrow. They've got a little bit of a double episode, because obviously there was some big Doctor Who stuff over the weekend.
I know, it was so nice. It was great. You know,
spoilers, but I know Pod Culture jumping into that and the PlayStation 4 tomorrow here at VOG.
It was so great. Everybody should go watch that 50th anniversary. Thanks so much, guys.
All right, take care, buddy.
OLR is up next. I will be back next Sunday night with a normal size show with music break and everything. What Up G was upset there was no music break. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific, here on the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me the MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. My Facebook is facebook.com/bobbyblackwolf, Twitter @bobbyblackwolf. I'm Black Wolf on both Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. All one word, no weird stuff. If you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. You can also leave a review on Stitcher, just like Act Deft and See All. They actually left reviews on Stitcher, and that was really great. So, and that actually helps our ranking in Stitcher, the more better reviews, as well as adding us to your playlist. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Sky, the Rob DV, XJNXV, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc 978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Actdeft, Alan Alchemy, Bashka, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, who does have a PS4, Burr, See All, Critical Myth, D5T, Dan, Dando, DKB, Dungeon Buster, Eric K, Gene, Havoc 978, Akuma JP, Kazan, Mako, Master Bishop, Monster B, MXC, Nixon, PKJR92, Reginator, Mako, SJ100, Matt Tall, Tech2030, Technus, Tiger Claw, Toagak, Wyland, What Up G, and Zappy. So that's it. I will be back next Sunday night. Yes, I want, and I did want to talk about John Carmack leaving id and doing Oculus full time, because that's the real next gen, is the Oculus Rift. We'll talk about that next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.